Okay, so basically the sign said, who wants to get rich? Who wants to get rich? Who wants to be wealthy? It's halacha shi. Beis Hashem. We want to go through some of the halachas. We'll start like this. Who wants to get rich? So we know the Gemara in Tainis. The Gemara in Tainis that test on another. Top of the da. Said, if a person wants to get rich, what does he do? Maisa money. Stock is a shayla. We'll get to that. Maisa, as those of the Gemara, right? The Gemara says, a person wants to get rich, he should take maisa. So Beis Hashem, what I said today, is I want to discuss the halachas of giving maisa money. Because our lovers of maisa money are directly connected to a person becoming wealthy, as we'll see, Beis Hashem from the Hemshach. Now, the Tosfos over there brings a famous story, right? So quite a dua, the Olam knows, a bit of Chazara. It's famous Tosfos. Tosfos tells us a maisa shahaya. What was the maisa? The maisa was there was a certain fellow. This fellow had a field. This field used to accumulate 1,000 kor every single year. And what did he do? Every single year he took 100 of that and he gave it to tzedakah. And every single year that was exactly the seder. 1,000 came in, 100 went to tzedakah. And that's how it went. Now eventually this fellow realized, you know, time is running short. Could be, who knows, I don't want to be here for. But then they called in his son into the office and he said, listen here boy, I want you to know, I have a field and I want you to be careful. Now every time you're going to go and you're going to, you know, work on this field, you should know it brings in a rebach of 1,000 kor. And you should know that every single year I want you to go along and give 100, which is 10%, to tzedakah. See? That's what he did. Now the first year, can you imagine? First year he gets to the Yerusha. Man, the field is pouring in, he's thinking of all the money and all those dollar signs are coming in front of his eyeballs, and it's million. And then he thinks to himself, ah, come on, 100 kor, you know, it's a lot of money, 10%. It's a lot of money, I mean, I only have 90% left. And he figured, you know, no, I'm not going to give so much. I don't have to give that much like my father gave. And he gave less and he gave less. Tosfos Rabbi said brings over there. That what happened to him, within a short time, the whole field went down the drain. And he was making hardly any money. And all the relatives came over to him and they were laughing at him. And he said, why are you laughing at me? Tosfos Pashut. Because you know why? A person, and this is a big issue verse in Hilchos Maaser. A person looks at Maaser geld. And he thinks, no, what am I doing? I'm taking 10% of my money, of my things, and I'm giving it to somebody else. I'm giving it to a poor fellow. Oh, so Tosfos, no, that's not pshat. So Tosfos, you have to realize, every single penny that you have, and every single penny that you make, is a partnership between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. 90% belongs to you. 10% belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a shutvus, it's a partnership. So Mimela, if you fulfill your deal of the partnership, and you give your partner 10%, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you 90%. But if you don't, then you don't get your share of the deal. So that's what person Tosfos gives us. Again, in Tainis, look it up afterwards. It's a Mordechai of Tosfos. And Tosfos is telling us, the sweet God of Maaser geld is the pshat that a person has to realize it does not belong to him. It belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's a shutuf in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let me go later. The Sefer Chinuch brings down that a bad is also normally to do any mitzvah. Any mitzvah is also to do l'shem tzchak. In other words, we don't do mitzvahs in order to recover the rewards, right? We know, for example, this week's parasha, Shaloch HaKan, right? The whole shayin and the Rishonim already. Why Pshat the Torah give us the Megalah to us, the reason of Shaloch HaKan, right? The same, but if other we don't do a mitzvah in order to get the rewards. Look, the same back in. When it comes to Maisa, totally different. This is the one exception that we have. And that is basically what the Gemara tells us in Tainis. And that is you are allowed, la halacha, we'll speak a bit more about this in a minute, to test the Ribbono Shel Olam. You are allowed to test the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, listen here, I'm going to give Maisa, I'm going to see if it's really true. I'm going to see if I really get back what HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised. Zot, the Gemara in Tainis, 100% mutter. And we'll see in a minute what the poskim have to say about this and how it's the Gemara Maisa. A person also has to realize, before we start the halacha, certain inyonim, number one, there's no cutting corners. A person cannot cut corners with tzedakah. We know the Gemara tells us, come on the Kohenis, that in Rosh Hashanah it's kavua. How much money a person will make in that year. That means there's nothing you can do that will stop that money coming from you and spending whatever you have. The Ribbono Shel Olam is kaveh for each person the amount of money that he's going to get. Mimela, you can't cut corners. There's no reason to cut corners. The Chofetz Chaim brings a million to kavoshel. Zom the Chofetz Chaim azay. There was a certain farmer who was in his farm and used to produce a certain produce. Now, when he wanted to sell this produce, what did he do? He took it to one of the main distributors in the village and he'd come with all of his sacks, and he'd come over there, and he'd distribute it, give it over, and he'd get the money for that. Now, each sack was worth 100 rubles. Each sack of produce that he had was worth 100 rubles. So what did he do? He walked into the distributor's place, into the big office over there, and he started bringing all the sacks in. And he started emptying it, and the next one said, how's he going to figure out how many sacks he actually brought in to the distributor? So they made a plan like this. Every single sack that they brought into the distributor would take a ruble from his pocket, and he'd put it onto the counter. And every single sack that's worth 100, he'd put a ruble on the counter. That way at the end, they can count all the rubles on the counter, and they can figure out, how many sacks did he bring in, times it by 100, that he has to pay. And that's exactly what happened. Every time he brought in the sack, a ruble went on the table. Every time he brought in the sack, a ruble on the table. One time, the farmer realized that the distributor had left. He went to the bathroom, whatever it was. He figured, here's my chance, my son. He reaches out his hand, and he cups a whole handful of those rubles on the table, and he stuffs it in his pocket. And he walks out thinking, Kalalik, I made some money today, right? No, boy, say, a posh of the mice is the Chofetz Chaim. What did he just do, this fellow? He made himself lose out. He thought he was taking money and he was gaining. Really, in the long run, right, he's going to lose all the money because he's not going to get so much money for all the sacks that he bought in. So the Chofetz Chaim, a person cannot cut corners. And a person will trouble start with shtickler to get out of stocker, to get out of meiser, because I need more money. But you have to realize that when a person gives the money, he's going to get a lot more back. And this we'll see Be'ez Hashem more in the Hemshach. Let me go back to Kvayadua, the Gemara in Gittin Daf Zayin. And the Gemara in Gittin tells us to Yisrael. What happens if a person has not so much money? Times are tough, difficult, he doesn't get so much from his parents, money's coming in not so good from the job, whatever it may be, times are bad. What does he do? So the Gemara gives Daka. Now, we say, posh the kasha. Doesn't make any sense, right? You've got no money, times are hard, what do? Give out more money, give Daka, what doesn't make any sense? A moshel for this is unbelievable. He said, I know it was a moshel shahoya later there, but they said a moshel moshel. I heard like this. There was a certain fellow who was from out of town, he went to live in America, and he had a huge package he wanted to send to his family members. So he asked, how do I send this package? What do I do? How do I get it to, wherever my family members are? He told him, you've got to go to the post office, and you've got to buy some stamps. And then you give it to the person in the post office, and they give it in for you. So, that's what he did. He went over to the post office, and he says, listen, here, you've got some stuff, there's some stuff on, here, I give it in, I want to send it to a certain place. So the person over there takes it over there, weighs it, so I'm really, really sorry, but it's too heavy. He says, what do you mean, it's too heavy? They told me that if I come over here, no, Beseder, just put a couple more stamps on, it will be Beseder. He says, I don't understand. If I put more stamps on, it's going to be more heavier. What's going to happen to put the stamps on? And the Maya boy said, a person has to realize, and this person shouldn't do that, that the stamps are the thing that gets it there. A mice of money is something that gets more money to you. It's a mahalach, it's a way of getting more money, of gaining more money. The spending of the money is just a hechatinta to get more money. And it's moving. There's a mice in the Yerushalmi in Dmai Perek Gimel. The mice goes like this. Pinchas Ben Yoel, right? So Rabbi say, if this wasn't in the Yerushalmi, I never would have said such a mice. Pinchas Ben Yoel came to a certain place, came to a town. And he comes over there, and they all start running over to him, and they start telling him, Rebbe, we have a major problem. What's the problem? We have an infestation of mice. And there's mice running around, we can't cope with it. He said, no, we're saying it. No. They're eating all the grain. We probably haven't got nothing to eat. So he decides, Rebbe said, Pilkas Minyar, he decides to make a meeting, him and the mice. And he instructs all the mice, Rebbe said, you shall me, look at that, very good. All the mice came over to him, and he had a meeting with the mice. And you can imagine, right, Pinchas Ben Yoel sitting over there, and all the mice over there, busy with the whatever they're saying, and he says to the town people, tell me, you understand what's going on? He said, no, I have no idea what's going on. He said, Bogart! They're saying that if you're not careful in mice of money, we're eating everything. So he said, Mami, Rabbi said, this is a mice in Yushalmi. Yushalmi says he made an instruction, he told everyone, Rabbi said, you're going to become on yourself to keep mice up. I'm going to tell them all to go away. They were macabre. He made an instruction. No more mice. Bang. They were gone. Next day. Merudikazah. The Maharil also says, tremendously said also, that Avada we try each person to be like the Rabbeinu Shalom. How do we be like the Rabbeinu Shalom? We know that the Rabbeinu Shalom takes care of all of us. So if we give tzedakah, if we help other people, so we'll be going into the Rabbeinu Shalom. Because we're also helping other people. So Merudikazah. The Rambam in Hilchos Tzedakah says, Santa Zach. a person has to be careful in stocker more than any other mitzvah, as those with the Heiliger Rambam. It's a very, very distracting here. That's what I want to speak about. Let's get some of the halachas. The halachas of Maaseh Geld, it's very negay, right? Everybody gets money, whether it be from their parents, whether it be from the yeshiva, whether it be from all different situations that a person gets. He works a bit over the summer, finished money, he got some money. The question is Maaseh Geld. That's the shayla. The number one we have to know, and this is what I said in the beginning, from the Gemara in Tanya's Tafes, and also Buddha and many other Mekremis also, that a person is allowed to test the Rabbeinu Shalom. You actually, it's mutter to test the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now the problem is, the big problem over here is that if you go to the Sugya itself, right, simulation and test, for example, near a day, if one of the Mekremis brought down the Pisca Chuba, second base, that what tells you over there about the Hilchos Maisa, says over there the Pisca Chuba bring a Shlakosh. And he says over there, you're making a tremendous mistake, all of you. What's the pshat? Everybody thinks, the Gemara says, you're allowed to test the Rabbeinu Shalom. Sub the Shlakosh, there's one of the Pisca Chuba, he's gotten base simulation and test in your day. That's only talking about Maisa Tefuah. Ah, the Gemara is not talking about cash. The Gemara is not talking about money. The Gemara is talking about produce, grain, all sorts of, you know, working things that go on the farm and in the field. Not talking about money. It mainly doesn't work. So I thought, right, go to close the shed. There's no more shit. It's all over, right? You can't test the bonus from Chabalas, man. Over a boy said, Baruch Hashem, I found the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim, we all know Chofetz Chaim when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Brachos and Hilchos everything, we listen to the Chofetz Chaim. No, also over here, the Chofetz Chaim paskins the halacha. It's 100% mutter to test the Rabbeinu Shalom. You can give the Maaseh money, you can write it down, and I know personally a Choshev Yid, a Talmud Chacham, who told me he has an exact chesed of every single half shekel he gives to Tzedakah, and he said on the other side, I have an exact chesed of every single penny comes back. That's what he told me.
More
comes back. He says, I can show it to you exactly the cheshbonus. And I once had the opportunity, Baruch Hashem, of going to B'nai B'rach to ask for Chaim Kalevsky, and he told me the same thing. It's 100% mutter to go and test the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, even in Maaseh Kesafin, even when it comes to money. So now let's go like this. The halachas of Maaseh Kesafin, right? Is it the Raisa? Is it the Rabbanon? What are we dealing with over here, right? So about the Tosfos Mefurish in Highness, brings a Sifri that holds, and that is the Raisa, Tzachir Min HaTorah, right? The Taz in Siman. Shina Rabbanon, in Yerudea, tells us, no, it's only the Rabbanon. And the Sakh, the Yavis, and I'll be one time, it's only a minute. If Shia Rabbi say, about the Makabal on Kali Swal, that we Kali Swal Makabal to do Maisa. Kali Swal will Makabal that we give Maisa Gelt, whether it be the Raisa, the Rabbanon, a minute, what's enough to mean it? Rav Shach has a letter. And Rav Shach writes a person has to be so careful in his Inyonim. And if a person is Makal in his Inyonim, he's over on Kama, loving every single second. That's what Rav Shach writes. And the sniper, someone came out to the sniper, asked a whole shayla, the office, Maaseh Geld, and he was like, Azoy. So the sniper of Poshut, always be Machmeh. What's the pshat? Because you'll never lose! A person can never, ever lose by giving on Maaseh. This is one you certainly have to say. Number two, the Chofetz Chaim and Avos Chesed tells us, Maaseh Geld has to be a calculation. And this, by the way, is a terror to people that will come, and I know people are going to ask me, and I've been asked this before, what's the pshat? Hey, you'll see people, they give Maaseh! They don't get rich. Well, what's going on? So there's no answer to Rutsum. We're not going to get into some of the Rutsum right now. Some of the Achmanim already dealt with the Shaila. Oh, but this is a positive that. The Chofetz Chaim writes that a person has to make a calculation. That means a person can't bear to give money and say, yeah, you have to say this, Maaseh Geld, here it is. I'll give it to Maaseh. A person has to make a cheshbon. How much money he made, being as money when he worked on a certain thing, whatever it may be, he got money for a raffle ticket, whatever. Bobby has to make a calculation and has to give 10% of that. That's double portion. Number two. Maaseh money is only from a prophet, right? A prophet means a rebbe, a gain that he made. Not every money we'll see in a minute is mechuyev in Maaseh money. For example, again, a bachur asked me, he said his parents gave him money to buy a plane ticket back to Chutz Laaretz. So he wants to know, he had the money in his hand, he used to go buy the plane ticket. Is he mechuyev now to go and take Maaseh money from it? What about the not? Because if a parent gives you something, go and buy this with this money. It's not a gain. I didn't gain anything, right? It's not a sheet of Israel Mazalman hold, even on presents, people take Maaseh. Oh, but the Maaseh, the meaning is Nishtazik. They may not a profit, and anyone has, it's Chayim Maaseh. For example, a raffle ticket. A person wins money in a raffle ticket. Or, for example, the yeshiva give out certain money for writing, for coming to Shir, whatever it may be, as we've had in the past. There's a profit. A profit is Chayim in Maaseh. That's a double portion. Who would know about Sally? A person finds money. How many times does a person find money on the street, right? He can pick up 10 shekels. 10 shekels he picks up. No, the halacha we know, in certain situations, I'm not passing it right now for the shir, but in certain situations, you're allowed to take the money. It's 100% yours, right? If that's the case, you just gained 10 shekels. 10 shekels is not yours. It's 90% yours, 10% is your bunch of loans. And you've got to give the bunch of his chayet. The remaining 1 shekel doesn't belong to you. Now, listen, that's just that shkof I'm trying to put into you. That shkof, it's not that it's my money, I'm giving it to you. And when the money comes up, you say, hey, I'm giving you my money. No, your money, it's never yours to begin with. The bunch of gave it to you in order to give to other people. That's another portion. Who did that say? People make money by working, but in chayet meisa. Who did? A person makes interest in the bank. People have money in the bank, and they know that every single time, I don't know about you guys, but I'm saying the interest that I get normally is like less than a shove of pruta, because not chayv b'chalal, right? Oh, but most if people are having money in the bank, and you're making interest from it. You're mechuyev in maisa. You're mechuyev to give the maisa. It's all shaylas, Shabbos, on Shabbos, you should deal with it. A person might make this is getting money on Shabbos, another shayla. Okay, who's mechuyev in maisa money? Who? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, in Yodea, that there are certain people that are named. The Poshut Danim, they themselves are poor. So if they themselves are poor, they're not mechuyev to go and do something else than anybody else. Now, the post can say, oh, I can make it more than they gave for the shir, I'm going to go into all different shayis of Avreichim and other things. Let's go for Bochum. A lot of posts can hold that a Bochum that gets money from his parents in order to spend, right, on a restaurant here and there, on a safer here and there, whatever he may need, he gets a bit of money from his parents. He's mechuyev in Maisa. So a lot of posts can hold that a Bochum is chayiv, right, the Bochum Chazanish, that about he's trying to do that. He got a revenue, he got a profit. It wasn't, you know, go and buy a plane ticket. It was his money, and go spend it. Baruch Hashem, last night I was doing to sit together with Rabbi Zvi Orbach Shita, the son from Shlomo Zalman. He timed it to me like this. He said, what's the pshat why a parent is giving money to a child? The pshat is, not because I want him to have money. I don't want him to have money. I know he needs certain things. His expenses that come up, whether it be the laundry, whether it be food that sometimes he needs here and there, mimela, I'm giving this to him in order for him to go and spend it on certain things. And he told me, oh, that halacha is that a bochum, generally is going to be potted for maisa money from the money he gets from his parents, unless he gets a lot of money and he has extra money and his parents give him a lot more. That's a bada going to be chayiv. Or for example, if a bochum works and he makes extra money, that's also chayiv. But we're discussing the money that he gets from his parents, according to some shitas, he's actually going to be potter. Let me go and bite up. We have a few more minutes. We'll say a maisa like this. Two more maisas. Okay, we'll say a maisa like this. A maisa shahoya. This is a maisa shahoya happened actually in Ramat Gan. There was a woman in Ramat Gan that wrote a letter to her father. And she writes a letter to her father, I want to tell you the most unbelievable maisa that ever happened to me. And she's writing as follows. She wrote that she's pregnant at the time. She's due to have a baby. And as we know, when a woman's working in a job, and she's going to have a baby, so she gets maternity leave. She's allowed to leave for a month and she gets paid, whatever it may be. So this woman was in a situation, and she realizes to herself, you know, now it's short, it's very hard to get jobs. There's people all over the place looking for jobs. So she's scared. And if she's going to leave for her month pay, which is 100% the seder, she's worried that her boss is going to get somebody else to take a job. She'll come back and say, really sorry, no more job left. So she wanted to try and be, you know, confirm with the boss that she'll get the job when she comes back. So she goes with the boss, and they're having like a big meeting over there, all the people are there, it's a whole big union, and she says to the boss, and she blurts it out, in front of everybody, are you going to give me my job when I come back? He doesn't know what to say. So he changes the subject, he says, you know, let me ask you a question, what's your name, and where you're from, and from Flatbush, and this, and that whole thing. And after a while he says, hold on a second, who's your father? Who's your grandfather? And he starts a whole history, you know, questionnaire. And this woman's thinking, what's going on over here? And all of a sudden, he walks out the room. This boss walks out the room. A few minutes later, he comes back inside, and you can see he's been crying. And everyone's like, you know, what's going on over here? Yeah, what's going on? So he said, I want to tell you a story. There was a certain place in America where there were two electricians. One electrician was a big electrician, everybody used him. He was the guy, the most professional person. Everybody used him for the job. There was another electrician. No, he's one of these guys that, you know, he had an old job here and there. He felt a bit of Rahmanis on him. No, so you gave him a job. You're going to need to do the job. What happened? One day, this electrician that was not so good, but Shvach, unfortunately had a heart attack, and he passed away. 1 minute to the next. So they were sitting shiver, the widow was sitting shiver. So the big electrician decided, you know, maybe I'll do a nice thing, and I'll go be Malach Mogul. I'll go say hello to the family. So he goes over, and he sees in the house, it's terrible. There's no food, and the carpet is ripped up, and it is mummish, there's nothing there. And he says, oh, how can these people live like this way? And he goes straight to the grocery, and he goes and buys tons of food, and he puts it in the fridge. The next day he comes back to Menachem Oliver, they say, hey, are you the person that put, no, yeah, looks like, whatever. He made nothing of it. And every single day in the Shiva, he used to come and fill up the food. And afterwards, some Mojik Asak, what he did, he came along, and he took all the old supplies of this electrician, which obviously was not needed anymore. He made a big sale, and he made money, thousands of dollars, for this widow. Now, Baruch Hashem, she had money, to Mojik Asak. So this boss turned to the woman and said, I want you to know something. That grandfather, that electrician, the big electrician, was actually your grandfather. And the person, that other electrician, was actually my own father. And the debt that I have for you for doing what you did, or what your ancestors did, is the most unbelievable debt, which I want to repay you, and you should know, you'll always have the job of it. My voice said, we see the poilus of Maisa Shahaya, that a person who helps other people, he does chesed, he gets stuck, whatever it may be, he's about to help me the Shomayim. And there's one more reason why I wanted to discuss this now. We're coming up, my voice said, the voice have to realize, 3 weeks tonight, my voice said, we're sitting in shul, it's Rosh Hashanah. 3 weeks tonight, 3 weeks tonight, we're sitting in shul. And we know, we say, Yom HaNaroyim, we say, Spida, Tshuva, Staka, Mavinus Re'e Gzela. Right? Staka is one of those things that Mavinus Re'e Gzela. We know the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Yeridaya, Staka, Katzel, Mimoves. Every single person who gives Staka, it's a Mordechai Gazak, Katzel, Mimoves. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva brings many, many eights. One eight he says, as a Chana, that a person could do Tshuva, is to give Staka. And it's about Atanya. In the Geirat Tshuva, The Balatanya says that about the ik of tshuva for a person is about them to work in himself and about to charata b'chule. Oh, but he says about a person should fast. Poshut, everybody should fast, right? As everybody knows. Oh, but he says, since we know it's very not shy to fast, we're going to make everybody fast. Very difficult. We can't do such a thing. Mimela, what are you going to do? Point up at stock, right? And he says a bigger chiddush, right? The Gemara in Ksuba Tafnun tells us that if a person gives more than 20% of his money, he's not allowed. You're not allowed to give more than 20%. So to Balatanya, when it comes to this, when it comes to Errol, and it comes to Erev Rosh Hashanah, and we want to save ourselves, it's medicine. Medicine, you're allowed to give more than 20%. Marben Stocker, person should give as much stock as he can, because it saves his soul. It's a type of tshuva, and it saves also for all the tiny thing that he could have done. One last thing just to finish. One of the biggest Rosh Hashivas we know in Europe is Rosh Shimon Shkop. Rosh Shimon Shkop has a Sefer, Shari Yosha, which explaining the hardest sugyas and shas. Unbelievable. And he writes in the Hakdama over there, a Mordechai Hakdama. He writes, I want Shvach to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Why? Because the Rabbeinu Shalom allowed me to be Magus Torah, and to teach, and Rosh Hashiva, and Svarim. And he says, you know where the source came from? You know what helped me? It's because I give Maisa of myself. I give Maisa of my time. And this is something else also which you have to know. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Paskins and English Rosh Hashanah this way. That a person is mechuyev to give maisa of his time. Not only maisa of his money, maisa of his time. That means a person should give of himself to help other people. And we know the Ramah tells us, right? The Ramah is a psak halacha sefer, right? As we know. And when the Ramah gives us musa, so we have to chap it. And the Ramah tells us mefush over here in Hilchos Taka, here it is, in the Mishman test. And the Ramah is from Ches, I'm sorry. The Ramah says mefush. A person has to realize, money doesn't stay. It's a wheel. The world is a wheel, Zadur. And it could be that if you don't become poor, then Lolenu, one's children or one's grandchildren become poor. And Zogdur Ramah, the ending words of this Ramah, that if a person has Rahmanus on other people, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have Rahmanus on him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him also. And there was a Maisa also, just to finish Rabbi Yisai, with this Indian of helping other people, about the person should help other people. And you gain yourself when you help other people. A person should never feel that if I help somebody else, I'm losing. It's Maisa. A person gets back even more if he helps. But Lalenu, it works the other way also. That if a person doesn't help somebody, or forget, he makes somebody's time even harder. Somebody wants to shy, somebody wants to grow, and he's stopping him from doing that. So he's going to be held accountable. There's a Maisa, I once told him a few boys, remember, a Maisa of Meir Shapiro. Everybody knows that Meir Shapiro was the founder of the Nafayani. Oh, Hashem, the whole world are learning Gemara now. Why? His was Nafayani. How do you do it? See, once, when he's a big Rav, he came to visit a certain place. And he comes to the place and everybody's trying to greet him. Oh, the Rav is coming, unbelievable. And a man comes over to him and says, I want to tell you, I'm the son-in-law from the Rav that you yourself grew up in. And he says, wow, is your wife here? I said, yeah. I want to speak to her. Look, so she comes in, says, I want to tell you something. When I was younger, I used to come to your house, yeah? Go to the wrong's house, I used to play with the kids, with your brothers, whatever. I wanted to know that I had an idea of Dafayomi, that the whole world was going to be learning one Daf of Gomorrah, the same Daf in the whole world. And all of you used to laugh at me. And they used to call me jokes and names, all sorts of things. And I want you to know that I almost gave up from this goal. I almost gave up from the Shi'ifa. And look what the world would be if we didn't have Dafayomi. And the only reason is I persevered, and I worked on myself, and I did it. And I just want to tell you, never, ever stop anyone from growing. Never stop someone from steiging. Rabbi said, we learn from Maisa, that a person who gives from himself, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will give him, and all his davis, and his children, and his grandchildren, and it's a meyer to give up.